This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. About 2 years ago, Deborah Aronin decided to stop shaving her armpits. And to her surprise, it was a big deal. The reaction she received ranged from support to disgust. So she decided to explore the subject in a film called Pit Stash, you know, as in armpit and mustache. Anyway, Deborah Aronin is here, as well as her production partner, Ian Sexton. And joining us also is Joan Jacobs Brumberg. She's a social historian and professor emerita at Cornell University. Her book is called The Body Project, An Intimate History of American Girls. And I want to welcome all of you to the program. Good to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Well,
good to have you here as well, Joan. And we're taking your phone calls and emails about body hair. Do you have strong opinions about body hair, men and women? Where do these opinions come from? Have they changed? Why? Give us a call, 877-962-9862. Our email address is sot@wunc.org. Joan, women didn't always shave their armpits, right? How did this become a norm?
Well, I think from my research that I would say that it starts around the time of the First World War and certainly into the 1920s as fashion made armpits more visible. If you were wearing the sleek kind of chemise dress of the teens and 20s, or this is early 20th century, your underarm would show. And it's at that time that you begin to see ads for depilatories with pictures of women with their arms up so you can understand what part of the body is implicated and where you want to remove the hair. But it also goes along with removal of leg hair about the same time.
So it happened about the same time?
Yes.
And this
right.
is because women are showing more leg at the time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't look so great to wear silk stockings with a lot of matted hair underneath. So that was one concern. I mean, it definitely becomes fashionable. Women are also cutting their head hair at that time. You know, the bob. F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote about it. Lots of women, for the first time, go to a professional hair groomer, cutter, to have their long kind of Victorian tresses cut off into this short new style, which is, you know, quite a revolutionary change because before lots of women spent a lot of time in hair culture with their mothers and their sisters and maybe even their servants.
No, it's not that they cared more about their hair at the moment. It's that they're turning this over to professionals.
That's right.
But it's interesting what you're saying, because I guess we have this, or I certainly did, and I bet it was shared by many, the idea that women had to shave is a kind of bowing to male ideas about beauty. But in a sense, what you're suggesting is it may well be the opposite. It's women expressing a certain newfound freedom at the early part of the 20th century.
I think that's absolutely correct. I think that as time passed, first of all, the methods, the number of ways that you could remove the hair, increases. I mean, you get shaving. Certainly when I was a teenager in the 1950s, getting a pink Lady Schick electric shaver was a cool 16th birthday present. More recently, a lot of waxing and laser removal. There's a whole industry in kind of beauty service to remove hair today. And I think that many women think that it's motivated by male sensibilities, but I'm not sure about that. I mean, I don't know of any scientific studies that say that men prefer hairless women to women with hair.
Well, and these days it's a very complicated picture, and one that Deborah and Ian are investigating in their movie. Deborah, what's Pit Stash about?
Pit Stash is about, in short, it's a documentary about armpit hair. One that asks, so why are women expected to remove their armpit hair, and their leg hair for that matter, but men are not? It's a very basic question, and everything else sort of stems from that.
And tell us how the question came to you in such a profound way.
Well, I stopped shaving my armpits about 2 or 3 years ago, and one day I sort of had a realization, and I said out loud, my armpit hair has changed my life. And a second later, I said, that's a ridiculous statement.
Yeah.
But it was a true statement because it had changed how I approached feminism, how I looked at sexism, And I thought, I should be asking people. I should be getting to the bottom of this double standard and what people really think about it. So I got a camera and a team, and we got a list of questions.
So what kind of reactions were you getting?
Well, we first realized this is something that people don't really think about. It's very implied in our culture, and that men were very sensitive to even the implication that they should shave their armpits if women shave their armpits. They were offended. They would flinch and look at me as if I'd just taken a stab at their masculinity. And women looked almost shameful at the idea of going outside with armpit hair.
Oh. So, Ian, you're mm-hmm. also part of this picture. You and Deborah were going together. You knew each other very well. What was your reaction to the shave?
Well, I'm actually part of the impetus here. I think at one point I just, Deb likes to say, I stopped shaving my armpits for the most feminist of all reasons because my boyfriend told me he liked them. So one day she was shaving her armpits and I just said, you know, it's fine that you do that. That's great. But I just want you to know, if you don't want to do that, that's fine because I actually like armpit hair. And I think it just kind of blew her mind.
Yeah, so it gives lie to the idea that men, all men, you know, are repulsed by armpit hair. Turns out at least one guy thinks it's a cool thing.
Well, I also, it led me to question, well, why am I doing this? Because I've been shaving my armpits my whole life and my legs. But I never stopped to think why I was making this choice. It was just something right. that I did to look pretty out in the world. So one of the questions we ask people is, if you saw a woman with armpit hair, what would you assume about her? And the answers are very interesting. They yeah. say, well, she's probably a lesbian. She's probably a feminist. She probably is very sure of herself and strong. And I thought, well, aren't those good things?
And then there's also...
Can I add another one?
Sure. Yeah.
I think there's a hygiene mm-hmm. Factor, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that there are people who assume that if you have armpit hair that you're not hygienic.
But they don't assume that necessarily about men.
No.
So, and how is it, Joan, over what period of time do you think, and have you been able to track this, that it became such a deep cultural expectation?
Well, it's really happened over the 20th century. So that now, I mean, in contrast to, you know, the teens and 20s in the 20th century, now we're at a point where we're very much engaged, I think, in a hairlessness project. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people who are shaving off their eyebrows. There are people who are saying threading, I guess, is one of the processes. And then there are people who are saying, you know, a woman should only have hair on her head. So that means that there are some women who are having their pubic hair removed. It started with discussions of just the, quote, bikini line area, which in a way was a new body part. And then it kind of extended to the whole of the genital area. There are some people who find that very sexy. It comes up in 50 Shades of Grey, you know, the hit erotic romance novel right. that's on the bestseller list. But again, I agree with you and with the makers of Pit Stash that I don't think there's any general agreement on this. It's something that has happened and is certainly money-making.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you can sell products. Well, it's interesting. I want to listen to a clip from the film because, Deb, in addition to asking what you think of women who don't, you also ask people if they do or if they should shave.
Do you shave under your arms?
Of course I do not.
Why of course?
Because I'm a dude. I'm a dude and I don't swim.
I think armpit hair is kind of gross, but if a man shaved, I would be kind of thrown off.
Men have hair, women don't.
If I was dating someone hairy, I'd make them get rid of their hair.
There we go. Men have hair, women don't. That's kind of a shocking answer. I don't know what you say to that.
It was a typical answer, though.
Yeah. So this is a sense of that naturally this is who we are. This is some kind of biological fact of life. Go ahead, Joan, then I want to ask Deb about that.
I think it's a form of maintenance. you know, of beauty maintenance that people have come to accept. There's certainly plenty of sane women who are not obsessed in any other way about their appearance who shave under their arms and their legs like every day in the shower. Then there are people, you know, who I guess like me, who live in a climate like Ithaca, New York, I tend to be a seasonal remover, depending upon when my legs and my armpits show.
It is a strange thing, though, culturally, how deep it is, and I've confessed this before, that at one point several years ago, I realized that I was more or less repulsed by women who had hair on their legs, and I was shocked by that. I mean, it's like, how... Where did that come from? Nobody ever told me. I mean, I never heard that from my parents, or it was just all around me, and it became a cultural fact of my life. And if I had been born elsewhere, it wouldn't be true. It feels kind of deep, Joan, but also ephemeral at the same time, because if I'd been born in a different continent, I wouldn't have had that view at all.
Absolutely. I mean, the iconic beauty images of your youth and coming of age certainly did not show women with hair on their legs.
Well, we're going to take a break right now, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this on the State of Things. We're talking about all things hair on the State of Things with filmmakers Deborah Aaron and Ian Sexton. Their film is Pit Stash. Joan Jacob Rumberg has a book called The Body Project, An Intimate History of American Girls. And our conversation continues on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.
I'm growing my little pit stash. Oh, pistachios and pit stashes. Oh, pistachios and pit stashes.
This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacia. We're talking about female body hair and how did hairlessness become the norm for women in Western culture. With us is Joan Jacobs Brumberg, author of The Body Project. Also here, Deborah Aronin and Ian Sexton, makers of the new documentary film, still in progress, I think, Pit Stash. And we're taking your phone calls, 877-962-9862. Robert is on the line from Raleigh. Hello, Robert.
Hi.
How's it going today?
It's going.
You have a comment for us?
Yes, I am a man who shaves his armpits.
Why is that?
All right.
Partly because I feel cleaner afterwards. I'm a very active bicyclist. I get a lot of exercise. And with the sweat that generates from that, honestly, clean armpits leave less of a mess.
All right. Now, did you have to think long and hard about, was it a difficult decision for you? And I guess, does anybody notice? You may not be in a position where anybody else but you knows about it.
No, I'm something of a ginger, so no, people don't generally notice.
All right.
We'd love to interview you, actually.
It wasn't a hard decision.
You say it wasn't a hard decision?
No.
Yeah, it just kind of made sense. Well, and you have, as you say, you've gotten no real reaction to it. It's not like people say, you know, what on earth are you doing?
When people notice that an eyebrow gets raised, but no, otherwise, nothing.
All right, Robert, thanks for the call. 877-962-9862 is the number to call. So a lot of reasons, and in fact, it raises the question, and I don't know, Joan, if you've come to this in your research, why we have armpit hair at all. I mean, it's a strange little tuft given the rest of the hair that we have in our bodies. And one of the theories is that it helps wick moisture away from a place which otherwise might become, sort of a problem if moisture stayed there.
Right. Right. Well, I'm not an evolutionary biologist, so I'm not going to say any more than you did. But I think as cultural practice, removing underarm hair now is much more acceptable for men than it used to be. There are certainly a lot of high-end advertising that has hairless men these days. But historically, as cultural practice, it probably goes the removal of women's tuft of hair under her arms probably goes along with the marketing and sale of deodorants in the same time period. So it's that there is a hygienic connection in a lot of people's minds. I mean, you certainly don't like to go to, if you'll excuse me, a hippie restaurant where there are people leaning over the food with hairy armpits. That's a standard kind of joke in a community like the one I live in.
Right,
Ithaca. Right. So, but what kind of answers do you get from women when you ask them why they shave?
Women often tell me, well, I choose to shave. They make a point of saying they have a choice. I choose to shave because it makes me feel more womanly, because it makes me feel more feminine, because it makes me feel cleaner. And I said, oh, that's great. Those are all really great answers. So you ask your boyfriend to shave too then if you don't like hair. And they say, oh, no, I can't ask him to shave. He's a guy. I get the same answers from men, actually. We interviewed one man who said, it would be ridiculous for my girlfriend to have armpit hair or leg hair because it's about pleasing your partner and you want to make them happy and do something for them. And it's, you know, that's kind of what I prefer and that's just me. I said, oh, so if she were to ask you to shave as well, you would shave if that was her preference to please her. And he said, no, she'd have to accept me for who I am. And he did not see it. He did not see it.
Well, those are two very good standards, and I think you can hold them both, especially if you're a guy.
It's also worth noting that all of the words that people use to describe armpit hair, unwanted hair, unsightly hair, makes you feel more feminine, more like a goddess, more womanly, those are all used in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what you see in the commercials and what you read in the magazines. And those are the same words women use to describe why they shave.
Oh. So it does suggest that advertising, yes, we keep coming back to this, but I wonder how it works. I mean, if you're trying to sell products, then why not sell them to men? Why just target women, Joan? It seems to be more effective. There's something about selling this to women that either made it easier or just more likely that you're going to succeed, Joan?
Well, that's a good question about the gender difference. It does start early, as I said, in the early 20th century. I think the fact that men have acceptable facial hair, you know, marks them as culturally hairier.
Right.
There is a certain breed of masculinity that is associated, you know, with a lot of body hair. With a very hairy chest. Mm. I guess people don't like hair on the back, but it does seem very different. But I think that women are much more involved in the culture of what I'd call, you know, beauty maintenance. There are a lot of industries, if you will, beauty service industries, something like nails. Fingernails. I mean, a lot of body parts of women are subjected to commercialized processes, you know, refinement and, you know, just think about all the stuff that women do, ranging from makeup to Botox to cosmetic surgery on all body parts now.
Right. And it shouldn't be surprising that we find in eating disorders and other kind of body image disorders are more prominent among and prevalent among women.
Right. It doesn't mean that they don't exist in men, but they're much more prevalent among women.
And they're becoming more prevalent with the younger generation of men, too. It's quite a trend, actually. Young men, teens, the idea of hairy young men is just disgusting to a lot of people, young men and young women. And eating disorders are really, really on the rise.
Among men.
Among young men, yeah. Let's
go back to the phones. Noah is on the line from Durham. Hello, Noah.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
You have a comment for us?
I do, actually. I grew up with all women, and everybody did their, you know, body hair maintenance. But it was never the women that I had an issue with. It was actually my dad. Looking at him when we would go to the beach and seeing his sort of, like, pasty, flabby. And we are a relatively hairless family. I think basically we have hair from the waist down and hair from the crown of our head up. And he was basically hairless everywhere, like I am now at 35, except for nipple hair and armpit hair. And, you know, by the time I got to the age where I was having that, you know, having the armpit hair, I just went, I got to clean this up. It just looks asymmetrical and sloppy. It's just sticking out everywhere, and there's no hair anywhere else. And I found that there's sort of like this attitude of reverse chauvinism sometimes where people are saying, like, why do you do that? And I go, I don't know. It just doesn't look right. It looks uneven. And I get the same sort of problem with it. But I don't have an issue with women having armpit hair. Certainly dated women with armpit hair, no problem. And I have leg hair, and I don't shave that or right. clean that up at all. But
it's just a sense of aesthetic pride.
Yeah, I feel like it looks clean. You know, I clean right. up my clothes. I tailor my clothes. I have a nice haircut. I would look absolutely silly if I tried to grow the very little facial hair I have. We call it a scum stash.
Just not quite enough, right?
Yeah, No, it just looks like and I'm French by heritage, and people, French Canadian people, call it the dirty Frenchman because you have like little. I wouldn't grow that either. You know, when it starts to appear at 6 o'clock in the evening, I go, "Oh, good Lord, I got to get rid of that." Wow. You know, that kind of thing. So. I was just wondering.
Well, thanks, Noah. Yeah, that's great. Do you ever get that kind of response, men and women who just say, look, aesthetically, it just looks better?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And we want to emphasize that this movie, we're not trying to tell everybody with this documentary, you really should stop shaving because it's offensive to women and it's not fair and there's a double standard. Individually, we really don't care. Women and men can do what they want. The purpose of the film is really to just get the idea out there that anything that's very accepted in our society that might be a little unfair or you might ignore can still be questioned.
Right. It's just thinking. It's just raising it to a level of consciousness. That mm-hmm.
exactly.
sort of that moment I have, where I say, "Why? Where'd this come from?" And to kind of think mm-hmm. about. It. Here's what I want to do, just to give you a sense of how embedded this is in the culture. Though I've got a clip to play from the TV show America's Next Top Model, one of my favorites. It's about a contestant who doesn't shave her armpits.
Okay, but we have an issue.
Okay.
What is going on? Did you come to a modeling competition with an armpit full of hair?
I don't shave my armpits regularly because both health and women's rights.
Ew. I wonder what, like, the downstairs is going to be like. You know, if her, she doesn't shave her armpits.
Ren is edgy, tattooed. She's very earthy. She doesn't come off really as a model, and I think that's going to hold her back.
Wow. So it is a marker of some kind, huh?
It's interesting. I think that one of the things I noticed just from that clip is, first of all, her response is not really articulate, and that they're also kind of pigeonholing her as other. You know, she's not normal. She has tattoos. She's kind of a little punky. She's edgy. She's not like normal people. And another person that gets a lot of that is Drew Barrymore. Like, she can get away with it because she's Drew Barrymore. She's hippy-dippy. But when Julia Roberts does it, it's like people are shocked and horrified and disgusted. It's really interesting.
There's also a sense of shame that's put on women a lot of the time when they do grow out their armpit hair or their leg hair. It's a lot of people do accept it, and we've spoken to a lot of people who are like, women can do what they want, yay, equal rights. But if a man chooses to shave or a man has armpit hair, it's generally, he's not seen as unacceptable or unsexy or no one will ever date you. You're never going to find a wife.
Or even as a rebel in any way. Yeah.
Or even as a rebel.
Right. Yeah. Right. It is a statement. You have made a choice if you stop shaving, if you're a woman.
It's also interesting that it's really brought to light for us in this film that the connection people make between women with armpit hair and leg hair and women they assume to be lesbians or feminists or hippies.
Or lesbian feminist hippies.
It's always negative. It's always negative. And they say, well, this woman has armpit hair. She must be a feminist. And I really don't find that attractive.
We also came across a little bit of research that showed how people react to kind of before after research. The woman at the pool.
Dr. Susan Bazo at Lafayette College. Dr. Susan Bazo at Lafayette College in, where was that?
Easton, Pennsylvania.
Easton. Why don't you talk about that? You're more familiar with that research, I think.
Well, they did. She's done several studies on gender norms and body hair, and we interviewed her for the film, and she told us that one of the studies involved a woman, sort of just a short film of a woman toweling off after coming out of a pool, and in one clip, she was shaved, and in another clip, she had body hair, about 3 months' worth of body hair. and they just asked people what they thought of both clips. And they said they thought the woman with body hair was less feminine, less intelligent, less socially acceptable, and probably would be less
antisocial.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe she was mentally ill, you know, all sorts of things like that.
They also said she was stronger and probably a lesbian.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Vicky is on the line from Raleigh. Hello, Vicky.
Hi.
You have a comment for us?
Oh, I've got lots. I stopped shaving my body hair 40 years ago. I'm in my 60s now. And I stopped. I lived in California at the time, so it was, you know, something you could do. But I started because guys didn't have to do it, and I was always having to do the stuff, wear makeup and shave my hair and all this stuff. And so later on, I ended up on welfare with this little girl, and I couldn't afford to mess around with that. Buying razors instead of bread for your kid, I mean, there's no choice. So I decided that all that stuff was an economic issue for women, especially at that time. They were, and they still are, but made a lot less than men. And most of the people on welfare were women. And we were always besieged by the media that we weren't pretty enough because we didn't buy the stuff and we didn't have our body hair shaved. So that's how it all started. And I have maintained that. Dick Cavett did a program, and this has been many years ago, probably 20, where he said that it all started after, I think it was World War II, when the guys came back from the war and women had all the jobs. And so he called it an infantilization of women to try to make women look more like children. And that's so the guys could go back to work and the women could stay home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think go ahead, Jane.
Earlier, but
yeah.
I would like to make a point about the infantilization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thank you, Vicky.
If you think about it, the hairlessness project that exists now, this idea that a woman should wax her pubic hair, no hair except on the head, what you've got is a situation where in childhood women have no pubic hair, and then in old age they also lose their pubic hair. So you've got this strange kind of interest in genitals that are hairless in children and then the elderly.
Yeah, and I can tell we probably have to speculate here and go way beyond our scope, but why not? The idea that we are trying, that this infantilization, that we don't want to grow up a kind of never-never land culture that we're sort of growing into. I mean, how is there something to that, Joan, do you think? Because it is a little bit. You have to ask a question about a man who says, I would like you to look like a six-year-old. I mean, it's a little troubling, don't you think?
Well, I'm afraid that, you know, how we conceptualize what is erotic has a lot to do with what is around us, you know, in our culture. I'm sure that it's not my habit to watch pornography on the Internet. It would be interesting to know if the newest thing is, in fact, a hairless female crotch or a hairy one. I really don't know where this is coming from. I don't think women want to do it so that they look like babies and children. I think that would be very offensive to them if they made that connection.
All right. Well, hard to know what other connections to make, but Ian, you were about to say something.
Yeah, both Jean Kilborn and Susan Bazo, who we interviewed for this, had a lot to say on that topic. You're talking about the World War II bit. That after women got the vote in, I guess it was the 20s, right?
Mm.
God, my history is not all that good. And then after World War II, the differentiation of men work and women stay home with the babies, apparently that was confusing to a lot of men. They like couldn't tell that someone was a woman if they worked. but so a lot of the physical differentiation, you know, women were more lipstick. They, you know, shaved their legs. They did all this. That was almost a reaction to, as soon as women get more rights or more social freedom, you know, the culture comes in and says, you got to still be a woman and be delicate in this way. And so you see, like over at Duke, I believe, right by where you see a lot of shows, there's an outline of what men are kind of portrayed as in films and toys and what women are portrayed as in films and toys. And the woman is tiny and skinny with huge boobs and, you know, gosh, look at Rock Band, for example. And then the man is this huge beast of a man, and neither of them are realistic, and they're just horrible for people's self-image.
Jean Kilbourne also pointed out to us her expertise is media literacy, and she told us, well, this also coincides with an increasingly sexualization of younger girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we see more and more celebrities who start young at around 12 years old, and pretty soon they're wearing heels, they're wearing shorter and shorter dresses, and they, I mean, I think Miley Cyrus even had a stripper pole at one of her shows only a few years ago.
Well, I want to wish you luck with the film. I wish we had a little more time, but I'm going to have to thank all of you for being on the program today. Deborah Aronin and Ian Sexton, filmmakers on the documentary Pit Stash. You can peek into the project at pitstash.com. It's spelled P-I-T-S-T-A-C-H-E. And Joan Jacobs-Brumberg, a social historian, professor emerita at Cornell University in the Women's Studies Department. Her book is called The Body Project, An Intimate History of American Girls. Thank you all for being on the program.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
Coming up soon, the beat of a different drum. Stay with us on The State of Things.